Hello, everyone.
Hello, hello.
I'm Tony.
And I'm Tally.
And we are
the Lazy Book Lovers.
This is a podcast of book lovers who procrastinate about reading and have never-ending to-be-read piles. Today's episode is upcoming indie author releases features.
It's indie releases listener edition. So these are ones that listeners have sent in / authors have sent in.
Yes, so we got some sent to us. Exciting.
If I sound louder, it's because we're in a different setup today and I'm next to the mic, which is
she's
exciting.
She's not lounging back on, on my cosy bed.
getting beaten up by lights.
I can turn the lights down if they're bothering you.
No, you know you're hanging ones that I always somehow knock.
You always punch.
But it's always when I'm messing around with my hair.
You can twiddle your hair to your heart's content today.
Mm.
Before we get cracking into all these books we've got to talk about, I'll do a quick shout out to, we have our July, August, can't remember what month we were in, Buddy Reed has gone live.
Mm.
What's the name?
My Boss is the Devil. I can't remember the author off the top of my head.
But it will be linked in the description wherever you listen, and also will have been posted on the socials by the time you get to this.
The link for it has been put up in our Facebook group and our Discord. So if you are not in either of them, run and join.
Speaking of which, shout out to our Discord. So if you guys want to, if you're enjoying us and you want to contribute in a small way, we have a Ko-fi subscription, which is just like Patreon. And it does get you access to an exclusive Discord where we're trying to build kind of a book community. Or there is our Facebook group. But yeah, you have either of those options. All right, over to Natalie with the authors.
Let's go. So I have 8 today to share. So these have varying degrees of publishing dates. Some of them have been out for quite a while, but a lot of them have like one in the series that's recently come out. But I'm just going to read the first book in the series. So firstly, we have the Midlife Supernatural series. And the first book is called Eastside Hedge Witch, and this is by TJ Deschamps. So this, I think there's like 4 in this series, and the 4th one has recently come out, this year at least.
Honestly, these indie authors work hard.
Yeah, they are on it. If you like witches, hidden truths, a tight-knit community of misfits and standing up to bullies, this might be the supernatural tale for you. Miriam Diaz has lived as a typical mundane, on Seattle's east side for the past 17 years. She serves on the Parent Teacher Association, bakes for her daughter's cheer squad, and is an all-around champion stay-at-home mum. Oh, she's doing too much, in my opinion.
It's just rude.
Making me feel guilty, man. Pretty average and totally boring, Miriam likes it that way, all the better to keep her secrets. When a hellhound shows up on her morning run, her carefully crafted facade of normalcy comes crashing down. She has no choice but to banish the stinky mutt, revealing she is a powerful witch. But wait, there's more. Not only does Miriam face heat from below, a wolf comes sniffing around her spell work. When he shifts into human form, he's none other than her late husband's best friend, Gabriel. Oh. He's also the archangel she's trying to avoid. Things heat up even more.
Wait, so he's a wolf shifter and an angel. So this person's basically living your best life. She's
and
a witch.
Her late husband's best friend. I wonder if there's going to be a romance. Oh, this is a fantasy romance. Yeah.
Oh, wolf and angel. That's a great combination.
Yeah.
That's a great love interest.
I like some
if it
of that.
Is him.
The first book's called Eastside Hedge Witch. Why
that
can't I say hedge?
Getting, it?
It's with
hedge.
Witch after it. I
hedge
don't know.
Thank you. Then say it 3 times fast.
No. Then Eastside Witch Hunt. Then Eastside Morrigan and Eastside Coven. Yeah, so the Eastside Coven came out 25th of June, so very recently.
I have no idea what date it was.
2 weeks
was
ago or something.
I was just like, oh, that just happened. I was like, no, it is 2 weeks ago. Life, time isn't real.
Yeah, for us, we are in July. I mean, when you listen to this, it'll be July, is what I say. That sounds fun, actually. Yeah, and I'm nice. Doing a romantic-y read along, so I wonder if this could.
I'll tick a few of your boxes.
Be included. Yeah, that sounds fun.
We do cover. You've done a cover description.
Oh yeah. No, oh, I got a big side then. So.
So this, if you're new to the indie things, this is something we do where she just basically tries to describe the cover to me.
Very poorly.
Sort of for you guys. It's never very accurate, but it's just fun.
Yeah. It's totally not to try and get you to go and look at the cover.
Yeah, we're basically teasing you with shit descriptions.
Okay, so it has, the text has swirly whirly bits on it, which
technical term
we love.
Yeah. On this podcast.
And then it's got like, it's half, I would say half stock photo, half illustration style.
Okay.
And it's got like a spell book, a carp, an apple and a mirror with some green glow in the background. That's what I got, a green glow.
Yeah, that was not bad for you.
We're doing some good technical things here. And then the rest of the books in the series kind of follow it. They've got different colour glows. And different images on it, but they all match nicely.
Really pretty on your shelves.
Yeah,
they are available paperbacks.
I do like it when you can tell a book, a set of books, or a series, because the covers match, and publishers sort it out.
Yeah. Or when they change it halfway through.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Like stop.
I mean, it's not halfway through, but Derek Landy changing them. Book 15. I'm like, dude, at this point, commit.
It's because technically he's finished that, hasn't he? So it's not very... But also, I guess, when was the first one come out? He's been writing these for like...
2002. Yeah, so... He did do 20 years.
Yeah, and I guess it comes to a point where the covers probably aren't picking up new readers, so they have to update them. The new covers do look kind of cool. I kind of want them, and that makes me angry.
Because it's
15
books.
Yeah. So, just a little tangent. Reading about this perfect mum, which I'm not. I had a meeting yesterday.
You do a really good job.
I had a meeting yesterday with this parent support worker. So, right. For those that don't know, I have a very neurospicy household and two children. And I had a meeting with a parent support worker, and I went in and she was like, what are you doing so far? And I listed all the things we're doing, everyone was spoken to, and she was like, you've literally done everything that I could possibly suggest.
That doesn't help me. Yeah. I still need help.
Yeah. So instead of her giving me suggestions of who to speak to, which is her role, she spent the hour telling me what a fantastic job I'm doing and how our son is so lucky. And I was like,
did you cry?
Crying, basically. Yeah. Yeah. I was like, okay, thanks. And she was like, if you know, I can't believe that your son has all of this already done for him in year one. She said, I have parents coming in, their kids are in year six, and they've not done any of this.
Yeah.
And she was just like, I am, like...
But you've been fighting so hard.
Yeah.
To get him the support he needs.
Yeah, she said...
Some parents don't fight this hard.
She said, I'm so excited that, like, we're starting to get these diagnoses chased so young, because it's, like, the good, like, the earlier you can get it, the better help you get for your child.
I was like,
trust me, I was trying for years before they would actually take me on. Yeah. Like, I was like, I've been arguing since he was two, and they said they wouldn't do anything till he's five.
Yeah, I mean, just the earlier you catch it, less internalised shame there is, less sort of maladaptive coping mechanisms get developed.
Yeah, so for a while, he was very much like, I don't have ADHD. Like, I figured it was a dirty word. I think possibly it was something from school was said.
Yeah.
So my partner, who has ADHD, and I have undiagnosed ADHD, we've now started using the term ADHD a lot around the house, like referring to ourselves, and now he uses it as well. So
good.
Yeah, we're getting there. Like, bless him. My other half will be like, oh, I forgot to do that. And he'll be like, why did I forget to do it? Because of my ADHD. So, like, we just, you know, it's fine.
Normalize it.
And I'm always like, whenever I say to him, do you want to go and have a Tactile wee? And he's like, I don't need a wee. And I'm like, look, my body doesn't tell me I need a wee until it's basically coming out. I was like, maybe your body's the same. So that's the only reason I give you little suggestions, because I have to set a little alarm to remind myself to have a wee. So,
and like, you're a grown-up.
And I'm a grown-up, yeah.
If you're a little person, it must be even harder.
Like, when I used to work, I would set an alarm, like, in an office. I would set an alarm every hour to get up, walk away from my desk, try and have a wee. Fill up my water, come back.
So, I have basically sort of the opposite issue. Like, I'm always aware when I need to go, but what I do... which, also, guys, I'm a suspected neurospicy too. Mm. To make me focus, or I don't know, and this is definitely not good for you. Basically, I'll hold a wee hostage till I finish something.
Yeah, see, that's what I do sometimes,
I'll hold the wee hostage till I get something finished, and then the wee is the reward.
Yeah, I do that.
And it makes me fucking finish tasks.
I do that, but I don't know I need a wee until it's almost... So I'm hostaging hardcore.
I'm sitting there just abundantly aware. Like I'm
wiggling about.
But I'm like, as soon as I finish this thing, then that means I can go.
Yeah, yeah.
Which does mean, like, if someone asks me to go help them with something or go for a meeting, they now know that I do this. Kind of, my office has picked it up as a little quirk.
It's a quirk. Because, it's a tiny
like,
quirk.
Oh, can we have a quick meeting? And I'm like, I need to pee first.
Yeah.
Because I've been holding a wee for 45 minutes.
Oh dear.
Which is not good for you, and I do not recommend.
No.
I've been having, oh my god, speak of, this is a too long a tangent really, but anyway, I've been having a lot of trouble concentrating lately. Probably the worst I've had it since the pandemic. And bullying my brain for 8 hours a day, slightly exhausting. Yesterday was a good day though, so I'm hoping the curse is broken, but I've had 2 or 3 weeks where I just could not. I've been really struggling to focus.
Is it the same in office and when you're at home?
Doesn't matter where I am. I've been
just
sitting,
working in general.
I've been sitting at my desk. I've been comfy. I've had distractions, no distractions. Mm. I've had music, audiobooks, all of my tricks.
Not working.
Not a single one was working. And I was getting so frustrated because I was
You get really angry with yourself, don't you?
It's just like, why? And then yesterday... I did a task that I've been trying to do for 2 weeks.
Your brain was like, yeah, we can do it today.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, I was supposed to do content filming and I had to switch my week around because I was like, okay, we want to write today.
Let's do it.
So I
yeah.
wrote 5 pages of content that I've been struggling to get through for 2 weeks. Mm. And I got a lot on at my new job at the moment. Like, we're very busy. So there's just not fucking time for my brain to be like, no.
La 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 la.
Not today.
Yeah.
Like, it's genuinely my brain is like, no, not doing it. And I'm like, well, what about this other thing? And it's like, no, I'm not doing that either. And I'm like, well, that's all the things.
Yesterday, I literally zoned out of my entire family and did 2.5 hours work.
Yeah.
And I afterwards was like, I've done a whole week's worth of work.
Yeah.
I'm so excited right now.
Yeah.
Like, this is amazing. Kids are screaming, house is on fire.
Yeah. But brain has decided to do it, so we're doing it. Brain really wants to work on blogs at the moment.
Your blogs.
Yeah, my blog. Really wants to do that and absolutely nothing else. Which is just super.
Not ideal, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, back to the indie office.
So story.
It's part of our brand, sort of.
This next one came out at the beginning of June.
Oh, cool.
So another new release. And it's the first in a series called Camp Cryptid. And the book is called Fawn Over Me. Fawn spelt like a deer.
Fawn.
My F's and my TH's are all wrong. And the author is B.L. Brown. So welcome to Camp Cryptid. As the new assistant director of Elkwater Music Camp, Avery Payne has 16 weeks between her and her Carnegie Mellon dream, maybe. 16 weeks working at the only human-inhuman band camp in the nation. Human-inhuman. Oh, so maybe mixture of humans and inhumans, yeah. Just enough time to have her world turned upside down by a curly-haired fawn. Oh, this is... This is gay as well.
It's gay.
It's gay. Cricket is ready to fight. Yep. Shredded. I was like, fight, flight. And I was like, no, it definitely says fight. Oh my God. Cricket is ready to fight for her woodland home against the Georgia men who would buy it out from under her. Is this the same book yet? In search of her cousin, the only fawn to have integrated with the broader human world, Cricket finds herself stranded at Elk Quarter Music Camp. The roads are closed, her cousin is gone, and a red-headed assistant director can't seem to leave her alone. When a mysterious and violent monster threatens the camp, Cricket and Avery band together, discovering the truth behind the land grabs in Greenbank and their undeniable attraction to each other.
It's gay.
It's gay.
Is it Shifter or she's just a fawn?
She is just a fawn. So the cover has the two characters. They're really cute. So she's like a little fawn girl and the other
lady is like a little human girl. Reminds me of a certain style that I can't name, so it's so unhelpful.
Keep thinking.
It's like Minecraft front at the top, isn't it?
I wouldn't say so, no.
Alright. My poor battered brain.
we'll circle round. So it says over here that this is book one in the Camp Cryptid series. Each book will take place in and around Elk Quarter Music Camp and feature different relationships among the staff of the camp and the surrounding hills. That sounds adorable.
That one time I at love... band camp. Supernatural band camp.
I love that this came out in Pride Month as well.
Probably
Month.
Intentional.
Yeah.
Or if not, your good accents job. Are very clever marketing.
Romantasy. Maybe it could go on my list. Good job.
To be fair, the post that I posted in the book club that I'm part of on Facebook, I think that might be a fantasy romance.
Ah.
So that might be why we've got a few.
So we're getting a lot. Yeah, because that actually, away. Yeah. They're like all romantic.
We just solved the mystery.
Yeah, we solved the mystery.
I can't remember the name of that book group is because I joined a few.
Yeah, so Tony put a post in a book group.
Well, so it was an author that was like, does anyone know a way to promote my book? And I was like, hey, we're a small podcast, but you can always submit it here. And then we got a couple off the back of that, so just kind of nice.
Right. So next on my list, Justin. Justin Bourne Boring sent him book three in his trilogy. Yeah. But on Storygraph, I've only got book one. So I apologise. I'm only going to talk about book one.
We just tend to use Storygraph as our home base for a lot of our information.
Yeah, I will, if I remember, I will add your other books to Storygraph. But for now, we're just going to talk about book one. Right, so this is the A Thousand Scars For You series. And the first book is Beauty Is A Blade.
Oh, this already sounds promising.
Yeah. So the first book came out in 2020. And the third book came out this year. So these indie authors are out here
doing the work.
Bloody doing it, yeah.
As someone who decided to use the pandemic for good, I feel like, to write a book. Unlike me, who ate lots of food.
But we got a trampoline and I taught my son the skills I learned at a trampoline camp.
Nice.
So
good use of your time.
I think I did well. There is no force more compelling on Earth or in the parallel realms than forbidden love. It beguiles and inevitably self-fulfills. It finds a way, right or wrong. Forbidden love can be a very beautiful thing, but that beauty is a blade and it has a razor's edge. That's a good... That's caught me, yeah. It doesn't even tell me anything about the story, but... Impossibly, love blooms amidst a savage gender war that has raged for millions of years within a parallel realm. The Pentavi Shapeshifters, an all-female clan, and the... Centavaretti.
What's your disclaimer?
I can't pronounce words. Sorcerers and all male clan were sworn enemies, divided and forced to fight by their insatiable and conspiratory elders. shouldn't it be conspiratorial?
Potentially.
Or maybe I'm just misreading it. They were forbidden to procreate, but made ageless by magic. The two genders were only vulnerable to death during battle, and battle was all they knew. Interesting. Lei Luna, a hardened Pentavi warrior, starts to suspect her elder's voracious appetite for war is a ruse. Ooh. She and her mate, Masif, are determined to uncover the elder's true designs and end the never-ending war that has plagued the clans since the dawn of time. Unbelievably, they are joined by Vasa, a true immortal sorcerer, and head of the undying Nevuskar. Oh my gosh!
Really challenging you today, aren't they?
He too shares the suspicions surrounding the elders, and the three of them embark on an epic mission of bloody satisfaction. If anyone made sense of that, good.
Go check it out yourself.
Yeah, that sounds cool. Like a little gender war. And
sounds like there's mates.
Kind of Romeo and Juliet-esque, kind of.
Yeah.
Except in no way, but kind of.
Elders and clans.
Yeah,
and
that does sound good.
Yeah.
The cover has the font of the title is red and blah, 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 blah. It's kind of like, it gives me like vampire vibes.
Okay.
And then do with that description what you will. And then it has a rock with a panther on it, which I'm guessing is the shapeshifters. And then in front is a woman with a blade of some description. She's not really wearing clothes. She's got like ribbons wrapped around her.
Oh, cool. Ooh, it's like a mountain in the background with the...
So, yeah, that sounds really cool. Even though I
butchered it.
Butchered the description. That sounds really cool. And if that sounds good to you, go check it out.
Yeah, we will list all of these in the description, wherever you listen as well.
Yeah, and...
And try to tag them on socials, if possible.
And I will add them to our indie Amazon list.
Oh, yeah.
I've not updated that for a while, but I will be sure to put these on it. Right, so next is the first in a series called The Freckled Fate. And I believe the second book has just come out. So this is by...
What series is this today?
Yeah, they're pretty much all series. This is by Tetyana Walker. And the first book is called A Broken Promise. So Finn has lost everything. Her family, her love, and her purpose. I love Finn as a girl's name.
How's it spelled?
As a feminine name. Finn, F-I-N-N.
Oh, nice.
Betrayed and sold into slavery, she existed awaiting her end until she was mistakenly taken for a magic wielder and gifted to the brutal, bloodthirsty destroyer general to be tortured and killed. Surrounded by enemies, Finn makes a promise, one she will fight to keep. Ooh. That sounds good. And then the second one's called A Simple Truth. So this is the second book in a slow burn enemies to lovers dark fantasy trilogy. So there we go. No, I'm missing that from the first.
I bet it's the torturer king guy she gets gifted to.
Oh.
But it's him. I feel, yeah. I've been listening or reading a lot of slow burn romances at the moment recently. I don't know why. It's a theme currently.
Your brain's just slow burning through life.
What, like, not on purpose.
No, it just happened.
It just happened.
Well, I happen to have, out of the last, like, five books I've read, three of them have involved women being used to... their wombs have been used to bear children. And I was like... This is making me feel rather sick. Why does this keep happening and why do I keep reading books about this?
So lots of pregnancy tropes.
No, like government conspiracy kind of or cult or whatever. Oh. Stealing women to have their hybrid children or...
Oh. Actually, I read a book with that in as well.
Possibly we might have read the same, probably not.
I read a listen to Rhapsodic.
Oh, yeah. Did you?
Yeah. I'll save it for our reading update. But I've got a lot of thoughts about it.
Okay. I need to reread that because I do want to do the series because I have the first three books in one book.
Yeah.
So I would like to read the second and third and then keep or get rid of the book.
I think I need to
reread the first one. But I remember having a lot of thoughts on that. And I really, you know how funny I can get with like age.
The age gap was icking me out. That's what my thoughts were.
And I could
about.
Not get over that.
I couldn't get past it.
Everyone said to me, if you just move on from that, you'll enjoy the book. And I'm like, I can't move on from it.
I could not.
I'm glad it's not just me.
The whole time, I'm like, especially every flashback, and I'm like, this is cute, but she is 16 and so traumatised. Like, why make her backstory... I'm supposed to save this for the reading. But, like, why make her backstory being about being a rape victim and then have this icky power dynamic of a 100,000-year-old dude... being friends, and they make it very explicit that it's platonic.
Yeah, like he just comes and they sit on her bed and watch movies and make friendship bracelets or whatever.
But then he fancied her the whole time.
No, okay.
And was resisting because he wanted to show her that not all men are like that. But then you were like that. You just didn't touch her.
Yeah.
But the whole time you were like, this traumatised child, she is for me.
And she wasn't even 16 when they met, was she? No, she was just about 16. Yeah. So
that's why she was worried. The reason she calls him, so that's right. She was worried she wouldn't get away with it because she was not.
Yeah. I remember there's that whole baby thing in that, isn't it? Okay, anyway. So back to the Freckled Fate series. I really like that name as well.
Yeah,
okay, I'm going
to
read this.
Was nothing to do with you. Sorry for
me. Yeah. I'm going to read this, I think. Sounds good. The covers, they've matched really well. So they've both got black backgrounds, and then they've got the title of the book in the middle, and it's got like fire around the lettering.
Oh, it's like all glory and
So if anyone is doing any sort of reading challenge where a prompt is just words on the title, potentially these could cover it, so just FYI.
Some of these challenges are so specific.
Oh my god. In the next episode, I'm going to tell you about a challenge I'm starting.
Alright.
Oh god.
Oh.
Yeah, so it starts on the 7th of June, and the lady who came up with it named it the hardest reading challenge you'll ever do. Or you'll ever complete.
Is it 7th of July it starts, or 7th of June? Like, is it really
7th
started?
Of July.
Yeah, okay.
To the 6th of July, because she wants to start it on her birthday.
Yeah.
So it's like mid...
Yeah.
I will tell you about it next episode. Tune in next week to hear about that, but it will break my brain. I showed Nick, my partner, and I was like, hey, look at this challenge. It's literally called the hardest reading challenge you'll ever do, and it is. And he was like, you're not going to do that, are you? And I was like, yeah, I am. Yeah.
And I'm going to either succeed or burn myself out doing it.
I will go into details in the next episode. Okay, next book is Somewhere Between Dandelions, and this is by Trisha Larson Harmon.
That was a great name.
On Storygraph, this didn't even have a blurb, but I put one in this morning. Because I'm just a queen. If you're an indie author and you don't have the correct information on Storygraph, I am a librarian, so I will... update it if you contact me, it's fine.
Basically, if you're a librarian for Storygraph, that means you're allowed to update and edit descriptions,
yeah.
By the way.
Yeah. And I can add things to series and stuff. Like, okay, so high school senior Claire Goodnight has nothing left to keep her in her small town. Her best friend moved away and the grandmother who raised her is dead. Claire is biding her time until graduation so she can escape her alcoholic mother who has never wanted anything to do with her. Oh, this is like very different vibes to what we've been doing so far. Everything changes when her longtime crush Finn... asks her out. Their first date under the stars is the best thing to ever happen to her. I wish we had video just to see my face then and your face. We were both like...
So easily pleased. Yeah.
Their first date under the stars is the best thing to ever happen to her. Maybe her wishes are worthy after all. Yet tragedy strikes when Finn suddenly dies.
Oh, shit.
What the fuck? Escalated. And Claire is left alone once more. But when Finn magically appears as a ghost who only Claire can see, she gets a second chance at love and they begin their romance again in secret.
Ghosty romance.
I feel like you gave far too much away in that description. No, I'm joking. So the cover has the like silhouette of a girl looking away from like the cover, looking into the distance, and there's like a faded silhouette of a guy looking at her, like ghosty silhouette.
Oh, and it's almost like sunset colours behind them. Oh,
it's
I like
a very
that.
Pretty cover.
Yeah. I wonder what the dandelions have got to do with it. I think it's mentioned.
Maybe. Well, presumably.
Maybe they go to a field of dandelions when they look at the stars.
It's very... very Twilight-esque.
I like it.
I was talking about Twilight this morning because in this challenge, they're a very hard challenge. Yeah. One of the things is to read a book and then read an adaptation, like a retelling of it or whatever.
Yeah.
And someone was saying, does anyone know any retellings of Rebecca? And then they're like, actually, I don't think Rebecca is a classic. And I was like, I'm sure Rebecca is a classic. So then we were looking up the definition of what makes a classic. And it's quite ambiguous. Yeah. And I was like, to be fair, things like Hunger Games and Twilight are going to be classics. Like,
yeah.
I think it's very ambiguous. If you want to say Rebecca's a classic, then it is. And I would say it is because it's still being read and talked about now.
Yeah.
And then I was like, I love that in 50 years or whatever, there's going to be kids in school trying to understand the whole Team Edward, Team Jacob thing. Like, I just, yeah.
I mean, by the time I left university, the Harry Potter phenomenon of what that did to the world of literature was being studied.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Not that we want to talk about you-know-who.
Oh, we could talk about how amazing David Tennant is.
Yeah. There's someone on... a slight mention of the political situation in the UK.
Oh, we're that he could end.
We could go for it.
Yeah, we want to keep this under an hour.
We want to keep it light. But there's someone on TikTok who's been doing sketches where it's like, basically, what have you done now, Tories? Mm-hmm. And like Labour? And it's like someone acting out like basically like these skits where it's like Tories and Labour are like these petulant children. And he's like, no, it wasn't us, it was Labour. And it was like, what did you do? And it's like, we said we'd talk to J.K. Rowling. And he's like, why? Why would you do that? And then Tories pipe up and he's like, you're no better.
Look.
Let's not get into it.
We're not going to get into it, but they are one in the same, just wearing different colours. Right.
Yeah.
Noor Amjad, apologies, sent us two books. So one's a series and one's a standalone. So let's just talk about them. So the first one, which is a standalone, is called A Dash of Serotonin, A Pinch of Dopamine. And this is a poetry/essay collection.
Oh, interesting.
Mm. So you could be in a bookshop on one page and in the mind of a hopeless romantic on the next. You could be feeling the grass under your feet and flip into a castle in under a second. How about you live over 100 years in one book? How about you open on any page and let a few words bring you a surge of emotions? How about a dash of serotonin and a pinch of dopamine? This book is a collection of short pieces of poetry, poetry, imagery, fantasy fiction and observations. Author illustrated images accompany the written work. It is 168 themes full and can be read from any page. That sounds interesting.
Sounds different. Yeah. Usually get submitted.
The cover is red and it has like white little pencil sketches of some small little icons that I guess relate to stories in it or whatever. Yeah, that sounds cute. I might check that out.
That sounds quite interesting.
I might check that out.
I might give it a go.
And then the next one is the first in the Stones of Lodrucia series. I think there's another one out, but it wasn't on Storygraph. But the first one is called The Unfolding, A Scatter Plot.
Well, that's like a data science term, scatter
plots. Oh, okay, thank you.
Why you don't know what it is.
Yeah, I was like,
Scientists use them a lot.
Scientists.
I don't understand them. My last job in marketing was for a scientific company.
Oh, yeah,
There was a lot of me cutting out scatter plots and putting them places and being like, this tells you insert line from the scientist
here. Copy and paste.
So I don't really understand them, but they're a thing.
Confronted with the horrifying realisation that their master mage is on death row, a group of defenders embark on a deadly journey to save him. Labelled as the traitors of the state, and with a bounty on their heads, they must stand against an unworthy ruler and the very citizens they are trying to protect, all while guarding a map of gateways between worlds and their key. On this fantastical journey, one of the defenders, Farhan, is on a path to lock himself in an unknown world, destined by fate but against his will.
So that has nothing to do with the kind of scatter plot I was talking about there.
No, that sounds really interesting. But
that sounds very cool. Is it a bit found family vibes?
So, it says it's a YA as well. Interesting. So the cover is, it's like an underwater scene with a little silhouette of a mermaid swimming down. And then it has like a icon there that I'm going to assume probably links to pay the different books together or something. But the Little Mermaid looks cute.
Oh, and it's, yeah, like a symbol behind it.
Yeah.
Kind of, yeah, it does look like they're swimming down into water, almost.
Mm.
Like,
that does sound quite reflective. Good. Okay. All right, then, I'll give them a try.
All right, we don't have time for this, but all right.
All right. Stop sending us good-sounding books.
Every time we do an indie one, I'm like, I want to read all of these. For God's
sake, no more I want to read. Okay, next is the first in a series called Forsaken Legacy series. I can already tell, by the way.
Yeah, just looking at the cover,
yeah. I know you want to read this. This is by C.M. Laver. In the wilds of old Virginia, the shadows whisper of rebellion. The air may be heavy with discontent, but Maya... I've read a few books with that. I don't know if it's Maya. It's M-A-I-A, but I always read it as Maya in all the books I read. So, but that name has been in quite a few books recently.
Has it?
Interesting. Maya Avalos only feels the burn of whiskey as she grieves her mother over another glass. One night, a rebel approaches her to finish the fight her father started against Portico, the tyrannical law and order of the land. Determined to prove she's worthy to carve her mark on the world and avenge her parents' deaths, Maya takes his offer, making her Portico's new target. Portico. Now part of the lawless world of the rebels. Another one with rebels.
Well, I mean, I can understand why that's the theme.
Yeah.
Sort of our reflecting life.
That's what I was thinking about, like, all of the books I've read recently that have... Because they're all new releases as well that have about wombs being misused and, like, abused by the government. I was like, interesting.
I wonder why we're getting more dystopian, more rebelling against governments.
Nothing to do with our world.
The generation of kids raised on Hunger Games and all of these dystopian things. They're not prepared for us to be voting adults.
Now part of the lawless world of the rebels, Maya recruits a bruised-up gambler, a vengeful brothel madam, and an ex-bounty hunter, placing her life in their deceitful hands. Okay, I'm sold. Yeah. That just sounds brilliant.
That sounds like sounds Six of family. Crows.
Yeah. A gritty new adult dystopian that journeys into a nature reborn post-apocalyptic world on the brink of revolution with a morally grey ensemble cast and twist that will leave you questioning who you can trust.
Okay. No, that sounds good.
We're reading this, sorted.
that sounds so good.
And the cover has the flouncy flouncy writing. We need to do a blog post at some point showing what these texts are.
Terms.
With a dagger behind it and like some roses and ivy. I saw the cover and knew cover I was going to read it. Yeah. And knew you were going to read it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that is a
good
great
job.
Yeah. Okay. Great collection today. Thank you for adding all of them basically to my TBR.
Yeah. Didn't need another 8 books on my TBR.
One day I will be immortal and it'll be fine. But
one day you will achieve the dream of living a little cocoon where all you do is read.
Honestly. But yeah, check out these books if they sound great. We will link them on the Amazon indie, was it like indie author list? Don't buy them from that list though, because they will come to me, which you're welcome to do. But yeah, just go on there, put them in your own basket.
There'll be a link in the description that says like find our card link here, which has, that is then our kind of link tree, which has all the things in.
Mm.
One of those things is the wish list that she's talking about.
Yeah.
I will put them in the description as well and tag them on socials. So you've got loads of ways to find these books.
And if you have any books that are upcoming you want us to mention, go to our website, which is lazybooklovers.podcast.wordpress.com.
Yep.
And there's a form there you can fill out, send us the details, and we will add it to a future episode. Wherever you listen to this episode, please consider subscribing, downloading, leaving us a review, anything like that. We would love to hear your thoughts. And we will see you next week for a quarterly, half year
thing.
See you then. Bye.